when I started getting on the business grind, I would just do it the least possible.
Yeah.
But it was just the headspace of, oh, I have a test coming up. Like, I'm not going to study anyways, but I don't want to like deal with a mental headache. I have to go to class. I have to carve out time. It just became a headache for me.
Yeah.
And when I saw the actual projection of, okay, if I don't have this headspace, I can just focus on my business. Where could I take it?
Who's this? Oh, you're an entrepreneur? Oh, you're a real estate investor. Oh, you're trying to learn from those who did it. Well, come into the lab then. Put your white coat on, gloves on, notepad, and let's build, y'all.
Real estate experiment. What is happening, y'all? Today, I have the pleasure of having my man, Bailey Kramer. I had to reach out to you, brother, man, because I see you making moves in the short-term rental space. So, Bailey, man, when we first connected, I just want to level set. This gentleman, you know, came through, was working on his personal brand. And you told me you were a sophomore when you started. Yep. And now you're talking to me about different, you know, areas. You got two long-term rentals. Then you went into two short-term rentals. And then you started scaling with partners. And your main thing for your business is co-hosting as well as owning, very much like myself. And we were just kind of exchanging ideas already, masterminding off the air. I told Bailey, I'm like, Bailey, bro, you're dropping some gems. Quit playing games. Let's get on with the intro because I want to get this for the people in the lab. So welcome to the lab, Bailey. What's going on, brother?
Thank you. It's great to be in the lab and great to reconnect with you after 2 years of face-to-face. Obviously, I kept up with you through social media, but face-to-face, it's been a while.
Absolutely. So we are talking about that real quick. And let's talk about branding for a hot minute because you and I had an interesting conversation right before this. But I respect what you did. And it's very important because I think people usually get it backwards. They're like, oh, let me work on my personal brand and then work on my business. You actually said, okay, cool. I was looking to do that. But then I was like, hold on, let me go in business mode and then go back into personal branding. And then I kind of actually kind of challenged that. I'm like, hold on, Clay, you can have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah. Right?
So talk to me about that. Talk to me about your kind of your journey and that process of kind of trying to get into podcasting and then obviously going back to the root cause of the business, which today is you know, allowing us to kind of spend time together and talk about it. So talk to us, man. Bring the story together, brother.
For sure. So the whole real estate thing for me started when I was 19. I was a sophomore in college. So when I started learning about it, read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, found Bigger Pockets, I was like, okay, real estate's the thing I'm doing. Like, I just like knew that this was what I had to get into.
Was it really Rich Dad, Poor Dad for you too? Another one?
I swear. Like, I have it. Where is it?
Come on, man.
It has to be on my desk somewhere.
You know what the crazy part is, Bailey? Because, by the way, this is going to be a chat. You know me. I'm going to interrupt you because we're chatting. This is not an interview. We're chatting. When you and I... So I think I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I think in like 10th grade, but like I didn't have like, you know what I mean? Like it's like, I heard about this, by the way, that you should read books over and over again, because depending on where you're at in your life, things will click differently. So things clicked, but it wasn't like the seed was planted like crazy.
Yeah.
But when I hear you know, for me, I get inspired by people like you who come on my show. I'm like, yo, I'm going to do this. So it was Rich Dad, Poor Dad for you. Another one.
Yeah, it was. And the reason why it clicked for me when I read it is like two things. One, because I think I was 19, so I was a little older than 10th grade, obviously. So I had a more understanding of that. But then also part that I didn't mention is my whole goal of going to college. I knew that when I left college, I wasn't going to go get a W-2 job. I was going to have some business that I ran. I wasn't going to be retired, but I knew I was going to have a business up and running. I just didn't know what the business was. So basically my freshman year and part of my sophomore year, I was literally just like searching what that passion was. Cause I like sports but I didn't have any like business passions that I need to start this company. So when I registered at Poor Dad, I was like, this is the business that is going to get me to my goal. So
who got you to read the book? I mean, or how did you get inspired to pick up the book? Just curious.
I just like looked up personal finance books online and business books, and it kept on coming up because I was honestly like it's hard to even think about this, but I was desperate at the time to find a company to start because I have a video coming out in a week or so. It was a video I made my first day of college, and it's basically, I'm not going to spoil it too much, but it's basically like a promise I made to myself of what I'm going to do in college and how it's going to end up, how, what my life is going to look like when I'm done with college. It's crazy. And so I was desperate to, and I didn't tell anybody that I made the video, but because it was a promise I made to myself. So I went through freshman year and part of sophomore year, like itching, like, oh my God, like I need to get going on something or else I'm not going to fulfill the promise I made to myself. Mm-hmm. So I was hardcore, like, I did like the whole, like, best side hustles to start, best businesses to start. I looked at making a t-shirt company. I've looked at all those classic side hustle things, but it wasn't until I read Rich Dad Poor Dad that it clicked that, okay, real estate actually makes sense, scalable. And it just like had everything I needed. So right when I read it, it was like go time for me.
Okay. So, man, I love this, Bailey, by the way, man. Like, damn, that's so awesome. Let me ask you though, like, there's so many places where I want to go with this. When you watched that video now, like, did it manifest?
Yeah, it honestly, so it's funny because it manifested better than I thought, honestly, because I didn't have any like clear idea where I was going. I didn't know how I was going to get there. I just knew what I wanted. And I actually dropped out of school 6 months ago because what I manifested, just like it came true earlier than I anticipated.
What are you, and a senior?
I would be a senior. Yeah. my friends and my roommates are graduating in literally a week from today. Like I would kind of be graduating in a week from today, but since I worked on my business like too hard in college, I failed a couple classes last semester. So I technically would be, I had really good grades freshman year, sophomore year, even in high school. Like I was a great student.
What'd you study?
My major was real estate. But the thing is, I know, but the thing about
this is awesome. This is awesome.
The thing about the whole, like, oh, my major was real estate, it had no relevance to what I was doing. By the time I came into my classes, like I had like 4 to 6 properties that I've already done. And my teachers, they didn't have any experience. Like they were just like all theory people. I'm just like,
oh my God,
I'm gonna show you my facts. I was getting like Airbnb messages in class. I was getting booking reservations for like thousands of dollars in class. And I'm just like,
Bailey, bro,
what am I doing in here?
Like, Bailey, hold on. So hold, Bailey, this is so good. I didn't even know you'd have this much juice. Like, I just wanted to reconnect, bro. This is awesome. So, wow, the theory in class and then the real life. Wow, that's crazy. So tell me, because one would say, okay, like maybe let me just finish this through whatever. Like, but what's your thought process when you're, you know, it's funny. I don't know if you know the book, Your Next 5 Moves.
I don't know that one.
I'll send it to you after, brother. But like, what's your thought process at that point? Like when you're like weighing out the odds and what are you thinking? Like, walk me through your thought process as to like, I have one more semester, but I'm like,
yeah, man, good. So I've never been passionate about like schooling to begin with. It was more just a thing that my parents really wanted me to do. My grandparents really wanted me to do. My dad didn't graduate college. So he was like, Bailey, that was the biggest mistake. You have to do it. My mom graduated. So she was like, yeah, you should do it for sure. So it was kind of just like, I knew I had to start at school. Like that wasn't even a question. I did. And I'm glad I did start with school because I would never have had the time to like know, like learn about my passions. It didn't come through college, but it came through the time I had in college, which was nice. But then when the business, yeah. So when the business started growing and I saw just the potential, it wasn't school. School didn't take a lot of time because I would just cheat on every, like when I started getting on the business grind, I would just do it the least possible.
Yeah.
But it was just the headspace of, oh, I have a test coming up. Like I'm not going to study anyways, but I don't want to like deal with a mental headache. I have to go to class. I have to carve out time. It just became a headache for me.
Yeah,
and when I saw the actual projection of, okay, if I don't have this headspace, I can just focus on my business. Where could I take it? It was just a no-brainer for me of I just need to focus on it. And then the final straw was after I failed a couple of classes, I got a letter from the school that said, hey, now that you failed a couple of classes, you're not on pace to graduate in May, which would be like next week. And I said, oh, and then said, you have to meet with your advisor. You have to do this. You have to fill out this form. And I'm like, there's no way in heck that I'm going to take extra time out of my day to make sure that I can like finish this. I'm like, I got what I needed. I'm glad I did this. I got what I needed. I'm done. So that was just like the end of the rope for me.
When was this? Like a couple months ago?
This was basically late December, mid-December. I got these emails, but it was like the break that we had, like fall break or spring break, whatever you want. No, fall break. Mm-hmm. So I knew, I saw this email. I knew it in my head. I went back to school, and the day before classes start, I call my parents and I'm like, listen, I'm done. I can't do this. I'm going to put it on pause. I called it pause because if I want to go back at any time, I could. I probably won't. Most
everybody can. I think that's what we forget. Everybody. Yeah. Everybody can.
Yeah. So I was
you
like,
you can do whatever you want.
Right. So I'm leaving off at a good place and told them I'm dropping out, called my girlfriend. I'm like, I'm dropping out. Like this is done. And yeah, it was wild.
What's the feedback when you get that? When you said that, because I think people are afraid of the feedback, I think, with those decisions.
Yeah. My parents, I've been like telling my parents I wanted, ever since I learned about real estate, I'm like, I can drop out right now because I know how good real estate is, but I didn't have an actual business or money coming in to support that.
Proof of concept.
Yeah. I didn't have the proof of concept. So I was like, yeah, okay. That makes sense. But then when I had a proof of concept, my parents were like, Bailey, you're so close. You should just do it. But they were supportive. Like it took them a couple hours to like, whatever. Then they were fully supportive. And then now they're like, yeah, it was definitely like makes sense. And my girlfriend, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say because I'm geeking out right now. Can you give some perspective for someone who might be in your shoes? And I don't mind if you want to even get into numbers too. Like, because you told me like 2 years ago, Ruben, when we chatted, like I had no money, and like now, like I started gaining traction, and we'll get into that. But like, you know, if, I'd love to kind of hear like the okay before and then like the kind of now that allowed you to feel comfortable to step away.
Yeah,
because it's all relative, right? But I think people sometimes need that permission, and I think you need to give yourself permission, right?
Yeah, for sure. So when I first got started in the whole real estate thing, I was fully supported by my parents. So like actually college, I was lucky enough that like in Florida, for those who don't know, Florida has some cool like program, like college savings program. So when you're born or when you're super young, you're family, your parents, your grandparents can basically pay into a college. It's a cool like college program that they have going
on.
Yeah.
It's like the equivalent of a, like a 401k, but it's like a education or is that just for Florida?
Maybe. It's just for Florida.
Oh, it's just for Florida.
Okay. Yeah. Other states might have their own specific programs, but Florida has their own like state sponsored thing. So it's a really sweet deal, or at least it was 21 years ago when I was born. So like my parents wanted to just make sure that college was a priority because it was more mainstream. I think more like, I don't know, you had to go to college back then. Mm-hmm. So they took care of that for me. So that was really nice and lucky to have that. And then as far as like daily expenses, like food, like in the beginning, my parents were there for that, which is super nice and super lucky to have that. Mm-hmm. So when I first started, I had like literally no revenue, no income streams at all. I had some jobs in high school, so I had some money, but it was like nothing compared to like what life actually throws at you. Yeah. So that was that when I got started, literally no money. Then I did my first deal, which took zero money. Like I haven't taken any money from my parents or anybody that I've known for the real estate side, which has been kind of cool. It's just been all through like the network that I've built. So like the first deal was a fix and flip. We raised $130,000-ish. That was all from people I just met through networking. So that was cool.
You said you raised?
Yeah.
Talk to me about that because I haven't heard of raising money for a fix and flip. I've heard of like hard money lenders.
Yeah. So sorry. It basically, we do private money. So we didn't.
Okay, cool.
It wasn't like, I guess hard money you could just kind of like sign up for or kind of qualify for a little bit.
Private money, you have to build a relationship.
Yeah. You kind of have to raise the private money. Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. I see. Yeah. No, where else at? I just wanted a distinction. Wow. Okay. So that was, so talk to me about, and I'm going to get back to the Robert Kiyosaki thing, but talk to me about what that looks like. Cause people hear like my networking this, blah, blah, blah. Like, what did that look like for you? Like the actual network as a college student, when did the networking begin? Was it the summer before? Was it during the summer? Is it in between? Like, you know, meetups, yeah. Like what did that look like for people for right, context?
So networking was like the biggest thing. Cause and I'll tell you why networking is the biggest thing first, and then for those listening, and then I'll show you exactly what you can do to actually do exactly what I did. So first of all, networking is the biggest piece because everyone has some type of excuse or limiting belief or whatever. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough credit score. I don't have experience. All those things, right? If you just find people who have those things, your issues are solved. So like when I got started, I didn't have money. I didn't have credit score, a good credit score. I didn't have experience. I didn't have anything, but I just found people who had all those things. So it covered me. So that was kind of cool. And then actually tactically how to actually build a network. A couple of things that I did that were super tactical. Number one, BiggerPockets. So I would message people on BiggerPockets. At first it was kind of sporadic. And then I made it my mission to do 3 people per day messaging out on BiggerPockets, and then finally hopping on a networking call with them. And then I scaled that up to 10 people per day that I was reaching out to on BiggerPockets. BiggerPockets actually has a limit of how many people you can reach out to, like per hour. So I had to like do like 2 per hour so I can like whatever hit my 10 person goal. So that's one thing. I met literally hundreds of people on BiggerPockets, some people that I still talk to today. And as we were talking before, Ruben, was you meet one person, you have one relationship, and they introduce you to somebody else. So from BiggerPockets alone, I've met like a ridiculous amount of people. Like I would say everyone that I've met so far, that's maybe a stretch, like 80%+ of the people that I've met so far has some connection through somebody that I met through BiggerPockets, which is cool.
Same here, which is crazy.
Yeah. And then the other thing that I did too was I went on a podcast like Rampage where I'd listen to as many podcasts as possible. And then what I'd do is I'd reach out to the guest of the podcast and network with them. So same kind of effect. The
guest. Interesting. Yes.
Yeah. So no, like, yeah, I hear a lot of people talking about it because the guest usually in podcasts, if there's a guest, they have some type of credibility. There's some type of level above me. At that time, anyone was really above me, but reached out to them. And I would just say, hey, loved your story. Would love to connect. And I would just, I didn't really have a goal from it, to be honest. I just wanted to start building a network. I learned that was important. So I would just reach out to them and just connect with them. A lot of the guests, a lot of guests leave their emails. I've heard some people, I don't give my phone number out, but some people do. And some people gave their phone number out. So I'd call them or text them. And they're like, you know, you're the first person who reached out to me on text. And I'm talking like BiggerPockets podcast. There's like very few people that do it, but some people leave their phone number and still like only a couple people reach out. Like people just don't reach out for some reason. I realized it's nuts, but it's just like people are inviting you to reach out to them. Oh yeah. Connect with me on Instagram, connect with me on email, whatever. And no one does it. So I'm just like, I'll do it. And it worked.
Bailey, yeah. Bro, you're a machine. I just love how like, it's so funny because I can tell that for you, like it's like common sense and you're kind of like questioning, like, why is no one else doing it? But it's just so funny to see it because it's just like, you're like living proof.
Yeah. And even like now, yeah. For every podcast that I'm on, I get like 2 people max that reach out. And it's cool. Like some people might not, and I only reach out to people that I connect with. So maybe just people just don't connect with me or whatever, you know, some whatever. But
no, I think
But I give like an open invitation to reach out to me and to like DM me. Like I'm just like, no strings attached, reach out to me. If I can help you in any way, like shoot me a DM and just like, don't just say, hey, can I have 2 hours of your time? Just send me a message. Hey, saw you on Ruben's podcast. Tell me a little bit more about yourself and whatever. But very few people actually do it. So
guys, I can't. Okay. So we're going to break this down because literally I don't know if you know, like such similar story, except you actually took it to the next level. Like, you know how I'm taking the next level of my podcast, you're taking the next level of networking. Cause when I got on, I literally leveraged BiggerPockets as well. And I called myself, then when I got my license, I called myself realtor for the investor. And I just got flooded with like things and I would just engage, went to meetups, hosted my own meetup too. Like no one showed up the first day, right? Like my sister came to support me. But then I was like, I had a meetup in like 2 different cities and like, it was kind of really growing. And like all these people from BiggerPockets now, like my buddy, my SDR buddy, I just helped him buy a house. Now I'm no longer I am a realtor, but I'm not doing it like my associates. I do a referral.
Right.
And like he's in his SDR we're selling an SDR today. That's my buddy. That's a friend. That, it's just, but all from bigger pockets. And like, those are the same people who are like, oh yeah, we're going to invest together. Like, that's why I'm so curious when you say, how do we invest together, et cetera. But here's the hack, guys. Like, I had David Shands, I joined his challenge, and he's like, because you guys, you know, recently Guesty for Hosts sponsored our podcast. And one of the things that he asked, one of the things that he said in his mastermind, he's like, guys, like, if you want sponsorships, just ask. I was like, come on, bro. What are you talking about? Bro, I asked. I literally, here's my hack. I DM via Instagram and send a voice message. Everyone opens those. Like, guys, when I say, like, I just want to echo this because Bailey's here and he's really reminding me of like kind of like the hacks that now I think are just normal. I just ask questions to people, be like, hey, I really like this, blah, blah, blah. And be like, oh, thank you so much for reaching out. Like, I just did it to another guy who had like, it does, honestly, it doesn't matter how many followers you have, they will open it.
Yeah. And it's a voice note. Voice notes are clutch.
Voice notes are clutch. So, man, so I'm so happy to see this proof of concept because I'm like, I feel like you could launch a thing about this. You could launch a course on this, bro. or at least have it in the segment. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. I want to go back for a second because Robert Kiyosaki, from what I remember, he talks about real estate. But, and I was in real estate. And I at first I thought I wanted to be a multifamily syndicator.
Me too.
Right? Yeah,
me too.
Then I was like, hell no. Less is more. Are you kidding me? Right. This is insane. Yeah. So I got introduced to the real estate, to the SDR space like 2 years ago, like barely. How did you get introduced to it? Because I'm not sure that Rich Dad Poor Dad talks about that. So let's talk about the evolution. It's fix and flip, you raise some capital, etc. Let's talk about the evolution.
For sure. So to find those properties, so I'll take a quick step back just so I can give more of a full picture. So like I said before, I had no money, no anything really when I got started. And that's like fully true. The way I did it was I partnered with somebody who had just a little bit more experience than me. Yep. He didn't have a good credit score, honestly. He didn't have a lot of, he didn't really have the money piece either. He just had the experience and we kind of just figured out the other parts from other people.
Yeah.
But fast forward, he basically came to me and said, Bailey, listen, this is just like the summary of our conversation. He's like, Bailey, I have a couple properties. I want to continue to buy more properties, but I can't, the market's hot and I can't, there's nothing on the market that's good. Do you want to help me out with off-market lead generation? So going back to the one piece that I did have was time, because I was a college student and literally had nothing going on but trying to get this real estate hustle going. So I said, sure, I'll help you with some off-market lead gen. So I'll skip through. You can, if you want to circle back to it, we can. But long story short, we're doing cold texting and like text blasts and cold calling for vacant properties and high equity properties to see if they're interested in selling. And we did that. That's how we got all of our properties. We just, we connected directly to the homeowners, asked them if they're interested in selling. And we, it was like a needle in a haystack type thing. This was not easy. It took months, but finally we got the ball rolling. And then on the short-term rental side, we just used our system of cold calling. We found this one property. This owner like, hey, are you interested in selling? He was. And he was a super motivated seller. He had some health issues going on, like family stuff. He just had a lot going on. His property was in rough condition. He wanted like a stupid amount for his house. And long story short, we said, okay, we have a motivated seller. We have this price. What are we going to do with this property? We all, to this point, we just did fix and flips and long-term rentals. So we're like, is this going to be a good long-term rental? We're like, eh, it's going to be tight as a long-term rental. So we're like, no, could this be a fix and flip? We're like, it could be a really good one. But the price, the price, the official price of the house was $779,000. And all the houses we did before this were between $60,000 and like $180,000. So to go from a jump of like 150 average to $800,000 was a huge jump. And we were not willing to take on that risk of, geez, we're about to fix and flip this thing and maybe make $100,000 or maybe lose like a lot of money. So we're like, nah. But we're like, what else could we do with this house? Like, it's huge lake house, main house, guest house, basketball court. Like, it was sweet. We're like, could we make this a short-term rental? Because it was also on a lake. Like, we knew it was a good location for that. Long story short, we looked at our neighbors. We looked at Airbnb. We realized our neighbor's house is on Airbnb and he was charging $1,300 a night. And we're like, okay, our house is bigger. It's better. it's just everything better. What if we just made $1,000 a night on it? Would this make sense as a short-term rental? So we just kind of like looked at his, like, all right, we're going to do, even though our property is better, let's just say it's going to be worse. Would this make sense? We ran the numbers. We're like, yeah, this is going to make sense. So got some capital together, $100,000 for the down payment, $80,000 for rehab. It was a seller finance deal. And pretty much just went in with like no experience or no knowledge in short-term rentals. And on top of that, we were running really tight on our budget because we were like rookies at this point. And obviously that still happens, but we were running super tight. So we actually did a lot of the work ourselves. So I couldn't spend my time like researching how to do this. It was more just like, all right, the property is almost done. Now let me see how we can actually like do the systems and stuff like that. So it was very like, very off the cuff and a lot of mistakes made.
We'll be right back. Experiment Nation, I always experiment. And the reason why is I'm always trying to find the best tool, the best method, and the best vehicle to help me get to my end goal. One of the tools that we use in the short-term rental space is Guesty for Hosts. Now, Experiment Nation, you know that I love to test things and I wouldn't be sharing with you anything that I don't use myself. As a short-term rental superhost, Airbnb superhost, listings that we own and co-host at the same time, I can tell you that there's no better software that allows us to streamline our business. Right now, currently, there's actually three properties right now that are currently where guests are checking in and I'm here with you, and I did not need to send in check-in instructions for these current properties, right? There are multiple ways that you can streamline your operation from on the front end and on the back end, from being able to create a website, from being able to get income reports for your team, to looking at statistics, to setting up auto reviews, to integrating your smart lock so that you don't have to sit here and send every day and remind yourself to send the passcodes for your smart locks. No, instead you can integrate directly the exact same way that you can actually send your cleaners a link so that they don't have to remind themselves when they need to go to cleanings. There's text reminders that go out. There's links that can go out for them. This is a tool that if you're looking to give a smooth experience for your team on the back end, it will truly reflect, and it does for your guests on the front end. Make sure you go to host.guesty.com and use our unique link. Our unique link will be in our bio in the show notes. If you're currently watching this, you'll see it right here at the bottom of my screen. Use this unique link so that you can tell Guesty that I sent you. You don't want to miss out on this. You need a PMS, property management software, in your business if you're looking to operate like a super host that you deserve to be, so that your guests can have the best experience that they deserve to have at your properties. Again, that host.guesty.com. Use our unique link that is here on the screen, in the bio, and in the show notes if you're listening to this, guys. Happy hosting. So at that time, what were you looking at to like forecast your numbers to be like, you know, okay, this makes sense on paper?
At first it was literally just the property next door and then some properties like nearby, just like an Airbnb. We also kind of just broke it down because we understood like the market. We knew like, okay, this is really a summertime destination. So we're like, okay, if we can do $1,000 per night from June 1st to August 31st, that's 90 nights. If we could do, you know, 75 of those nights, would that make sense? And we knew that this is like a pop in place, like summertime, it's like not going to be an issue. So we're like, okay, so 75 grand in the summer at a minimum. And then we said, okay, if we can do $4,000-$5,000 per month in the winter time, so that's basically $1,000 per weekend, $1,000 a little bit more. Could this make sense? So we added the numbers up and it was, our gross projection was 130,000. Mm-hmm. And we're like, okay, this makes sense at 130,000. It makes a solid deal. I mean, it's fine. It wasn't crazy deal, but it was like, it makes a good deal. Plus we really thought we could do more with it. So we kind of just winged it at that point, to be honest. Like we kind of just went for it.
So do you, how do you finance this kind of deal?
So yeah, this was,
you just seller financing, and then the 80, what was it? 80,000 in furniture.
So 80,000. So that's another thing. So this guy just wanted 100 grand down, which comes out to like 12.5% down basically. And then we had to rehab this place. we didn't really have a furniture budget per se, because we had no idea how much furniture was going to cost. Like, we legit had no idea. So we got most of our furniture from Facebook Marketplace mm-hmm. for free, which was like free. Looking back. Yeah. Like, looking back, it's like wild. And I wouldn't recommend just doing that. Now we have metrics we use, and we have calculators that actually know how much the furniture is going to cost. This first one, we got the couches for free. Even like the kitchen supplies, most of it was from Goodwill. That cost a couple dollars, but nothing compared to what you're actually going to spend. We did a lot of things for free with this one. Cause we winged this one, honestly. We told our investor, like, listen, like, we think this is going to be a really good deal. This is our projection. We really think we're going to hit it. We think we can do a lot more than this. Are you in? Or are you not in? Like, so that was that. We already had some investors on the sidelines waiting to work with us because we had some good track record going. But we really saw a really good potential with this property. Just to fast forward what we're doing now with it, it's going to bring in around 250 this year.
That's bananas.
From 130 projection to now doubling it. We didn't know it was going to do that well, but we knew it was going to do better than 130. And we're already on pace for that. So
that's so awesome, man. So you definitely, your cash on cash is, that's some solid cash on cash
right there. Yeah.
Oh my God, man. There's so much to unpack there. So like, how long did it take to do that rehab for that house?
It took about 2 months. We put a brand new roof on it. It actually had a tennis court, and we restriped it to make it a basketball court. We did every single bathroom. We did floors in every bathroom. Obviously, the furniture, all that fun stuff.
You're going to have to send me the listing after.
Yeah, I will. It's a cool property. I definitely will. And then the other thing with it. Oh, yeah. So we were like, the summertime, like I mentioned, is like the biggest time of the season. So we realized that every day that it wasn't on Airbnb or booked out, we were losing $1,000 a day. Like, that was how we looked at it. So we listed the property on Airbnb for July 1st. We said, we're not going to still work on this after July 1st. Cause we got the property in like May ish. So we had like May, June, let's just list it on July 1st and we'll make sure it's ready by then. So by July 1st, it was ready, but not like I was there like 3 a.m. Like, I have pictures of me at the property 3 a.m. that day. I went there, I slept a couple hours, then went back to the property to like finish some small things, because we are just so unprepared for this first one. And we got a ton of bookings before we even listed, which was awesome. So we knew we had to get it done by then. And yeah.
Yeah, it's so funny you say that, because I remember being under contract for own property and just turning it on, and I was just like, oh God, now we really got to commit.
Yeah.
There's no canceling. Like,
right. You can't cancel.
Yeah. Oh, and so I love that. There's lessons there of kind of like putting it in front of, you know, like committing, like almost over committing, like, so that you have to get it done. And honestly, by human, like, it's best practice for human nature to do that. So at that point, you're like, yo, we're onto something here.
Yeah, we started making some good money from it, and we're like, all right, we're like, our projections, I guess, for, so like, we're doing well. We just kept increasing our prices, and we're just like, all right, this is sweet. We're now at $2,000 a night for this property, which is cool.
tell me about that. Like, what are you using now, like, for thought process with pricing? Because that's something that's actually very close to what we're doing right now. We're doing a lot of testing with pricing. I just told you I geeked out with Rachel offline about like her pricing and her like blocking out like 30 days where she has 7-night minimums. What are you doing? How are you testing, or I should say in the lab experimenting with prices? Because we know that's the holy grail of kind of short-term rentals as the core foundation.
Yeah, so a couple of different things, I guess. There's two very different things. Are you talking about before I buy a property or while I'm already hosting it?
While you're already hosting it.
Okay, so while I'm already hosting it, a couple things go into play. So first of all, I use Price Labs, but I don't want people to get, like, people think that when people are just getting started, they think Price Labs is going to like run the whole thing for you. You never have to look at it. I find it to not be true. Price Labs is only smart as you are. So you set all your parameters and then Price Labs will do it for you automatically, which is nice. and I love Price Labs. I support Price Labs fully, but just that misconception of Price Labs is not the end all be all. If you don't know your pricing, then you're going to be in trouble. So a couple things that I do for pricing. Number one is Price Labs shows, and you could also look on Airbnb and AirDNA, but Price Labs, or really just Airbnb, Price Labs shows the market occupancy based on how far out you are. So it's one of the things is you need to know in your market, how far in advance do people typically book? That's number one, because some markets, like I'm in like my North Carolina markets in Pinehurst, North Carolina, people book like 7 to 14 days in advance, like on average, almost like, like people are just like last minute there. So I don't want to like lower my prices all the way because I'm only 7 days in advance. I know it's kind of like, it's kind of tough, but you just have to trust that you're going to get booked. And maybe if you're more conservative, you can lower it a little bit and that's fine. But it's really just like knowing your market. That's number one of like when you need to lower the prices. As far as like minimums, I just do, if I'm far in advance, you're 7 day minimums. Even right now on my properties that are in like the summertime, actually not anymore, but I was doing 7 day minimums. We got some great 7 day bookings, which were phenomenal. And now that we're getting closer and closer, we're just slowly starting to lower the minimums for that.
So you're literally doing it. And like, so this is a good example, because I always geek out on this stuff in the mastermind. So yeah. If we're giving a tactical example, let's say you have a 14 day booking, I think they call it lead time.
Yeah.
So that's the window.
Yeah.
You're actually, you said one of two things, just I want to like clarify. You said, okay, so I'm actually going to trust the process and I'm not going to just like panic and like lower all my prices if I know that within that 14 day window that they're going to book, right? You know, I shouldn't be worried. Like I should just trust the process.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, you're also saying outside of that window. So for example, maybe 3 weeks out or maybe a month out or two, you're actually setting up a, like you're trying to maximize how much, what this minimum is. And then do you have to manually go in and change it? Or is there, you're toggling and within Price Labs where you're saying, you know, when you get closer to this date, then now make it, you know, two night or one night minimum? Cause that's actually, I am not familiar with that part. Like I'm familiar with the toggling or the minimum orphan days, all that stuff,
yeah.
But I'm not sure. And you tell us while we're on the air here, if you're able to actually say 7 day minimum for 1 month out, but once you get within a 14 day window, it's one night stay. Like
how
do you do that?
So there is a setting in Price Labs where you can do like, if they're within 14 days, whatever you need, you set it, then it's this minimum. If it's between 14 days and 30 days out, then it's this minimum. 30 days to 60 days, it's whatever minimum. So you can change the minimums. I do it more manual right now. I still use Price Labs, but the reason why I do it more manual is because there's so many nuances within each of my properties and the markets and the seasons. So for example, for the winter time, especially, I don't want to have if you're booking more than 30 days in advance, you have to have a 7 night minimum, because I know in my markets, no one's booking for 7 nights, or very few. I know you're talking like, you know, somebody who's doing like, just, she's the only one doing the minimum. So, and she has it priced that way. So it's not impossible. Just my thought process though, is I just have it set for, I still do like for the winter time, for example, 2 days. If you're going to do a 2 night minimum, that's within 30 days. If you're going to be more than 30 days in advance, then 3 night minimums. I don't do anything beyond 3 nights for the winter time, because I just know my market. But for the summertime, I don't care if you're more than 30 days out or if you're 60 days out, I don't care. I'm putting my June 1st to August 31st, 7 night minimums. And we're just starting to change it now because we actually got some really good bookings, like, but we have some vacancies that we want to just lower it and put the barrier to entry lower. So I make it more manual. You could do it automatic, but if you really want to get that specific, those specific touches, like I don't know any pricing software that can do exactly what's in my head. Maybe there's just some feature I don't know about, but I like to make it a little bit more manual.
Yeah, you definitely. It's funny because you talk a lot about like, oh, like passive business, et cetera. Like now you really got to treat this like a real business. Like,
yeah,
you got to be at it if you're really trying to get the numbers that, you know, that we're really talking about here.
Yeah. And for me, one thing on the price labs and like the time commitment, I would say it depends on how booked up I am. If I'm like, if I'm rocking and rolling in the bookings, then like, I just let that thing go. I don't even check it. But if things are like slower than I want them to be, I'll just look back in and just make some manual adjustments on like a weekly or biweekly basis. Sometimes I even go 3 weeks if nothing if there's nothing urgent. But if I'm not getting bookings, yeah, I'll just hop in there and see what's up and just look at it and understand, okay, market's 30% occupied. Why am I 20%? I'll lower my prices a little bit more. So it's only like an hour or maybe like an hour-ish every time I go on Price Labs every other week or so. It's not a lot of time.
Yeah, no, I love that. Like, very analytical. One of the things we started testing is like, you know, at first we were so religious with like, oh, we're not going any lower than that. Like, this is low.
Yeah.
I realized there were some orphan days or some weeks where, you know, in the middle of the week, it was like, you know, Wednesday, Thursday and stuff like that. We started being super aggressive on those during the week only and just started getting booked back to back. Like, you know, you want the whole month to look like a straight line, you know?
Right.
And
right.
That was my first, just a recent experiment, y'all, like 3 weeks ago, just because I was really, you know, struggling with that with across our properties, and we started testing and we're in different markets. We're in Georgia, but different like divisions and, you know, Decatur and like Atlanta and like, you know, Ellenwood. So Smyrna. So that's a good hack I just want to share while I'm on the air, just to kind of really test things and give it a little bit of time to kind of trickle in and then kind of come back in. It's an it's a lab, y'all. It's an experiment. So,
for sure.
So that's awesome. So like, now tell me a little bit, like, you know, as we're wrapping up here, it's like, you know, love the journey. Congratulations on like taking these huge strides, man. What do you think is next for you? We're just talking about it like before, like, man, multifamily, that blah blah. Now I'm really like, okay, short-term rentals, like, but like, what do you think is next? Because you talk about making that video, it's about that time, man. It's about two years up. We need a new video. What's going on?
I do need a new video, honestly. So where I'm at right now, just to catch up to speed, is after doing those two Airbnb properties, and I obviously learned a lot from them and figured it out quickly, but people started reaching out to me to co-host their property. So, and then it's all just word of mouth referral. So without even really trying to build a co-host business, I now have almost 17 properties that I'm co-hosting. So I'm like, all right, this is a pretty sweet business model. No, like virtually no risk, no expenses, just pure cash flow. But now I'm at the point where I'm like, okay, I need to bring people on to handle the guest messaging, to handle some of the more day-to-day things that don't take a lot of time, but it takes my headspace, kind of like college, takes my headspace, and it just pops up at inconvenient times for me.
Yeah.
So that's that.
And what's your team look like right now for the co-hosting? Like, how many cleaners do you have? Like, how do you manage the communication? Is this still all you? Like, how
does that work? It's all me. Like, I'm the one man band for like my operation, kind of. Mm-hmm. I have cleaners in every market that I'm in, handymen in every market, really good people. So like Illinois, I have like 12, and it includes Wisconsin, where I have like 13 properties that I'm co-hosting. We have the same cleaner. She has a team. Like, she's like a freaking rock star. She has a team, and she, like, I am her number one priority. Like, we're super tight. I just sent her like, it's not even about the money, but like today she's like so awesome. I just sent her $150. It's just like a thank you for being awesome. Like, our relationship is tight. I probably talked to her.
So
like,
important.
She just like, yeah, it's like so important. If I didn't have her, obviously we'd find other cleaners and make it work. But like, when I know that when I need something, she is there. Like, she's just so amazing. So how'd you
find her?
I found her. This is in the time where I bought that first property. So this is the same cleaner from the first one. I went on Google, just typed in cleaners nearby, just started calling them. Do you have any Airbnb experience? Do you have any? And then I talked to this one. She's like, yeah, I actually manage a property on this one road. I'm like, oh, is it? I'm like, oh, our property is actually, I think, the one right next door to that one. So the listing that we saw,
wow,
she was cleaning it. So it was like a no brainer. Like, she was like teaching us. Like, what do you do? Like, we were asking her so many questions because we had no idea when we got started. So she's just awesome.
That's so important to have rock stars on your team, man. Like, that's why, like, when you said the networking and all that, bro, keep the podcast, bro. You're gonna 10x. You're gonna 10x because you're already a networking beast, and like you have your own show too. And I'm just saying that, just because we were talking about this offline, and I'm just so
freaking
stoked for you, man. Jesus,
yeah, I appreciate it.
That's really cool, man. Keep that up. And so you're managing a lot of different teams in different markets. And right now, what do you use for technology? I guess for those who are listening who might be interested, like, is it a PMS? Is it Slack? Is it text? Is it group text?
Yeah. So right now I'm using, so just for like my guests and that type of stuff, I'm using Hospitable. Mm-hmm. Through Hospitable, my cleaners automatically get notifications through there. Nice. I'm looking at Turnover B&B now. I've heard some cool things about it. I'm on the fence with Turnover B&B. So stay tuned for that piece. Price Labs. Yeah. And I use Hostfully guidebooks. I really like their guidebooks.
Yeah, yeah. They're supposed to make some really good guidebooks. I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome, bro. What? I didn't know the whole backstory, man. I'm super stoked for you. I made a promise, top of the hour, we're right on there, guys. You're gonna have to follow my man Bailey. He's gonna be a problem. You know what the crazy part? I mean, you're already a problem, and it's like you're so freaking young, man. That's so freaking refreshing.
Yeah, thank you.
I started my experiments right around, you know, that time when I moved back to Atlanta. I had already graduated and I had worked 2 years. And then I was like, moved to Atlanta and I started my experiments. But you, like, you have such good traction right now, bro. You're going to be a freaking wrecking force of nature. Jesus. I'm really stoked, man. So if you're going to give us like a snippet of what the next video would be, what would you say it's going to say? Like, what would you foreshadow? And I know you make it for you, so you don't have to like, give us all the juice, but we want a little bit. That way we can look back on this show and be like, yo, he said he was going to do that. Told you he's a bad man. He did it. What's up?
So the next chapter, I guess, next 4 years, when I look back in 4 years, I'm going to have, when I started, I had zero companies. Now I'm going to have multiple companies, just for different branches of what I'm already doing, real estate related, but just kind of different avenues in that sense. I'm going to have key people on my team, so I'm not in the day-to-day of all of them. And I'm going to be, I didn't get into this to just like retire and do nothing, but I'm going to work really whenever I feel like working. Yeah. And that's going to be like the biggest thing, is I'm just gonna have way more time freedom. Right now, I have zero time freedom. Like, straight up, like, when guests message me, I'm the only one who messages back. So right now I got like the first dream was just like build my own business, make some money, boom, done. He did that. Now it's like next chapter, get my time freedom back, continue to make money, and just be able to do what I want to do when I want to do it.
Awesome, bro. I'll tell you some things offline, because we're gonna share some of the juice for the VIP section later on about some of the things I have felt. But Experiment Nation knows we just had, John Jonas, VA King, founder of onlinejobs.ph, on our podcast. I'll definitely share that with you, a lot of insight, but I'll share what's been kind of worked with me over time when it comes to systematizing, because that's real. No, there's financial freedom, and then there's also your own time freedom. And but man, what you're doing is perfect, because you're building your empire, and then you figure out, once you've learned, you've kind of worn every hat, then you start outsourcing it. That's the right way to do it, brother. So that's, you're doing the right thing, man. So come on, man, give us a little number. What you got? I want some numbers. Drop it in here, man. Numbers of any, you know, kind of projections, maybe you want to drop in here. If you don't, it's all good. I'm going to send this video, this episode to you in a couple of years and be like, you said it, you did it, brother.
Yeah. So as far as numbers go, like, if you asked me this 2 years ago, I have no freaking idea. My number for January of 2023, like, to start, I basically go by months, because every month for me, it's always like increasing a little bit at a time. January 2023, through my businesses, what I have going on, my goal, 100,000 a month. I'm not at that or close to that right now, but I see where I can go with that. Yep. And so 100,000 a month starting January 2023. And then 5 years out, I mean, geez, like, that would be like That'd be like, I have zero, like that. I
crazy.
Don't even know.
10x it, bro. Go crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it would definitely be, you know, if by January 2023 is 100 grand a month, by 5 years out, it'd be at least 10x that a month, at least a mil a month.
That's what's up, bro. I love that.
Yeah.
No limits. It's all you.
And it's also like I like some things from Grant Cardone, some things I don't, but yeah. Like what he's like, dude, if you fall short on your 10x goal, like God forbid I'm making 80 grand like by January. Like if that yeah. happened, like shoot, I didn't hit my goal.
Shoot. Like, oh man.
Dang it. Like, dang it.
No, but that's also you know what? Like I wanna leave on a really good note, and you touched on this just now. The crazy thing is when you think about it, like, and I surround myself with people who just think this way either way. Yeah. You usually hit your goal. So the problem is not that we don't hit our goals. The problem is that we're not thinking big enough.
Yeah.
Let that sink in for a little bit, man. Yeah,
for sure. Because
you hit the goals you probably set. Like, I know I have. I'm like, oh, but I wasn't thinking big enough.
Yeah. No, yeah, for sure. For sure.
So let's think bigger, bro.
Yeah.
But I love that. That's a great benchmark, man. That is a good benchmark. And I know I'm going to send this to you in a year. We'll be in touch.
Yeah, I've got a couple other people. I said, January, put it on your calendar. Just shoot me a text message. So
I got you, bro.
Yeah.
I'm going to put a reminder on my phone right now, actually. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, this is why I need to be guesting like you. So I can get somebody to put me on the spot too, and I can say my number. But I'm going to record something after you inspire me, because I've done some videos of reflections like that. But I'm going to do a little projection video thanks to you. And I'm going to send you this video. I just came across, it's by Patrick Bet-David, and it's completely in line with your next five moves, because I think that gives us as operators, like, it's as chess masters, like you think like 12 moves ahead, and a lot of us people are well, not us, but there's a lot of people out there who really are just know their next move. They don't even know like 5-10 moves ahead, and I think that's key. But listen, Bailey, man, you came into the lab, you over delivered, man. Now, Experiment Nation, the brother told you he's looking for people to reach out to him. So if y'all don't, that's on you, because this stuff works. He is the plug right here. So, Bailey, how can we be in touch with you? I know where to find you on the gram, and I know, but like, you tell the people how they can best be in touch with you.
Yeah, for sure. So open invitation, shoot me a message on Instagram. I'm on TikTok, I'm on Facebook, but Instagram is kind of like the main place. So shoot me a message on Instagram. Just tell me where you heard me, so I know it's not just some random person, because I get a lot of randoms. Tell me a little bit more about yourself in a quick snippet, so I can just read it over and know who you are. And just know what you're looking to get out of it. If it's just networking, cool. If it's something specific, just the more specific you can get, the less spammy it looks, the higher chance I'll respond. And if you say you heard me from Ruben's podcast, guarantee you'll get a response.
Just like that. What's the handle for us?
It is the_Bailey_Kramer, or if you just like a Bailey Kramer, I should pop up. I'm the only Bailey Kramer in the real estate space that I know of. So the Bailey Kramer.
The_Bailey_Kramer. That's what I have here. And you guys make sure you tap into the brother. He's doing some amazing things. And man, just like that, we are out.
If you're a real estate professional, a real estate agent, a real estate investor, a lender, a multifamily syndicator, a contractor, you name it, and you're looking to grow your online presence, but you have no idea how to get started or simply don't have the time, at Invested Talent, we help real estate professionals extend their current business to social media. Why is this important? Without this, you wouldn't be listening to this show, and your own host, Ruben Kanya, and his team would not have done deals they've done today. As a matter of fact, social media has helped us keep this show together, which now exceeds $1 billion worth of real estate from our guests collectively. That's right. Our reputation, opportunities, partnerships, and most importantly, real estate transactions were started directly from social media. If you're a real estate professional and you lack an existence on a media platform, Invested Talent can help. Simply go to investedtalent.com/social media and make sure you click the Get in Touch button to get in touch with our team. Again, that's investedtalent.com/social media and get in touch with our team. You focus on being the brand, and we'll help you build it. Now, if you know anything about the lab, you know that we like to give practical advice. So if you feel that this podcast was of any value to you, please be sure to leave us a review on iTunes by going directly to the podcast app. From the show's page, scroll all the way down and leave us a review. If you're watching this on YouTube, please subscribe by clicking the subscribe button and leave us a comment. Lastly, and most importantly, share this episode with a friend you feel will benefit this episode the most. Remember, there's a you and I in build. Let's build, y'all.